Well, shit. Albina newspaper. News of the day with Marcel Kandil. Trump-Putin rapprochement casts a shadow over Europe. UN resolutions outline the Ukrainian settlement. Netanyahu-Syria plan looms over the region. Gaza agreement wavers amid calls for extension. Massive funeral for Sayed Safieddine. Parliamentary confidence session for the government begins today. The political editor wrote. US President Donald Trump has forced Europe and Ukraine into a new reality by opening up to Russian President Vladimir Putin and laying the groundwork for an initial agreement on Ukraine. French President Emmanuel Macron's visit to Washington and his remarks alongside Trump underscored Europe's limited ability to act independently from the US, despite earlier bold rhetoric from European leaders. Meanwhile, recent UN resolutions reflected a growing focus on ending the war as soon as possible, omitting the usual preconditions such as condemning Russia or demanding a full withdrawal from Ukrainian territories. While Moscow declined to comment on the US-Ukraine metals deal that Trump seeks to recoup American financial aid to Kiev, Trump stated that he doesn't believe Putin would oppose a European role in providing security guarantees for Ukraine after the war. In the region, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's statements on Syria and his plans to establish a security zone spanning the southern provinces of Damascus, Quneitra, Sweida, and Daraa have drawn significant attention. His proposal includes a special status for Sweida and the Druze community, from which laborers have already begun to be recruited for work in the occupied Golan Heights. Announcing this plan at a military officer's graduation ceremony, Netanyahu delivered a direct challenge to Syria's new government, which had anticipated U.S. support in curbing Israeli provocations. However, the plan presents an even greater challenge to Turkey and Qatar, both of which back the Syrian Salvation Government linked to Hayat Tahrir al-Sham. American signals suggest that Syrian-Israeli peace agreements recognizing Israel's annexation of the Golan and granting additional security privileges could facilitate sanctions relief, without which European financial leniency would have little practical impact. This places Syria's new government, along with Turkey and Qatar, in a dilemma. Either accept Israel's conditions and face popular backlash for capitulating to the occupation, thereby legitimizing a new wave of national resistance against the occupation. It would also reposition the previous regime as a patriotic alternative, one that the new government would lack if it were to comply with the occupation demands in exchange for sanctions relief. Alternatively, maintaining the status quo that existed under the previous regime, marked by sanctions and possibly even harsher living conditions, would weaken the government's ability to project sovereignty, especially if it fails to prevent the occupation from reaching the outskirts of Damascus. Meanwhile, Turkey, a powerful Islamic state, now shares a border with occupied Palestine, yet it does nothing. In Lebanon, the town of Deir Kanun and Nahr in the south witnessed the funeral of Hezbollah's former Secretary General, the martyr Sayyid Hashem Safieddine. Today, Hezbollah will receive condolences for its two fallen leaders, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and Sayyid Hashem Safieddine. Meanwhile, Lebanon's government faces a parliamentary confidence vote today and tomorrow, where the first session is expected to be dominated by political speeches addressing the border national situation, particularly Lebanon's stance on the Israeli occupation, Resolution 1701, and the resistance. In light of the events of the war and its aftermath, culminating in the funeral of Sayyid Nasrallah.